again to John 15, and we shall read together verses 7 and 8. Verses 7 and 8. If you are there, let us read together John 15, 7 and 8. Ready? Reading. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Amen. Lord, that is blessing upon the reading of his word. What is the provision that you desire in your life? Many of us desires for comfortable houses, luxurious kind of lifestyle. And we don't want, nobody wants to be in poverty. We want to be at least have 3 meals a day and have some extra resources for our own use when there are emergencies. And we desire these provisions from the Lord. However, many, even Christians today, are looking for the provision rather than the provider. Loving the provisions more than the provider. Seeking provisions more than the one who provides. And that leaves many into discontent, dissatisfied with their lives. So many are depressed. So many are stressed because they are looking at the wrong thing. They are looking at the wrong angle. They are looking at the provision and not on the provider. And Jesus here in verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. The problem is we are only after, and many believers still look on this second phrase only. Ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. And they forget that it is important to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ and his words abiding in them. Now, we have already mentioned what it means to abide. We talk about it as a duty where we have to remain. And we have to stay put. It is also earnestness, steadfastness, where we are going to hold on and to remain ourselves in God with the desire and with the hard work to receive as much knowledge, as much blessings from him, guidance and leading through his words. And also we mentioned that it is continual and it is constant abiding. And it means we have to be in God, not to turn away from him, not to go away from him, but to remain continually in him. And he says, if we abide in him, if we abide in Christ, if we remain in him steadfastly, seriously, considering that relationship, that mutual relationship where we are in him and he in us, he says, my words abide in you. So when he says here, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, he's describing for us this mutual relationship, that to be in Christ and to have Christ in us is through his words. As we can remember how the Lord Jesus Christ describes here that he will leave them for a while. For a little while, he will go away. And for the apostles to be in 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were too dependent on His presence. Whenever there is a need, there is the Lord Jesus Christ. When there is some problems, storm, or whatever problems that they meet, there is Christ with them, the Lord Jesus Christ. They can come to Him, seek for His help, come to Him, ask for His guidance, and right there and then, the Lord Jesus Christ will answer them, do something for their needs. And now it was time for them to just live by their own. Their master will go away. Now how can we continue on abiding in You since You are not with us? How can we continue on living with You when You are not in company with us? How can we continue to listen to Your guidance, to Your leading, to Your answer when You are not here with us to tell us, to speak to us? And He says, My words abide in you. And how we thank the Lord that we have His word inspired and preserved for us. That we have this trust and confidence that the very words that we are reading today are the very words that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to hear from Him and to abide in us. His word is important. His word is His presence in us. No man can say that I am in Christ and is ignorant of God's word. No man can say that I am in Christ and I'm abiding in Christ when he's doing apart from the word of God, when he's doing against the word of God, when he is doing not in accordance to God's word. That is false claim. That is false profession. You cannot say you are a Christian if you are not abiding in God's word. That's why this unity today of ecumenical movement, this unity with the Roman Catholics, this unity with some other so-called Christian groups, Christian churches, that says we also believe in Christ. We are also believers in Christ. We also trust in Christ. How can they say and how can they claim to abide in Christ when they are not doing the words of Christ? If they abide in Him, the words of God abide in them. What is the basis by which we can tell a person is really abiding in Christ? The words of Christ is abiding in him. It is the one dictating him. Yes, he cannot do perfectly what God wants him to do. He cannot do perfectly what God gave us in His word. But he is continually keeping himself stumbling, then rise up and then continue to follow what God wants him to do according to His word. So when we abide in Christ, His words abide in us. That's why we cannot unite with other churches who teach doctrines that are apart from what God has given us in His word. Those churches which teach us that we have a Bible which is full of mistakes, or probably just 0.001%, but it has mistakes. It is blasphemy against a perfect God. Is blasphemy against the God who preserved His word. And He preserved this word because this is the basis by which we can truly say we are abiding in Him, because we are abiding in His word. And if we are abiding in the wrong word or compilation of words or versions of the Bible that says this and says this is not included, that is not part of the Word of God, this should be in it, and that is not what God has preserved, it is not abiding in Christ. We thank the Lord. It is not that we are proud that we believe and we know that we have a perfect Bible. It is not something for us to be declaring as holier than others, more Christians than others, more abiding than others. We are just thankful that the Lord is gracious and merciful to us, to show us, to give us light, to believe that he indeed inspired and preserved his very words. If God did not preserve his word, anyone, everyone else on this world can claim, I am abiding in Christ according to what I believe, what I think. We'll be going back to the age of the judges, where everyone was doing according to their own eyes, according to what they think, according to what they believe, not according to the word of God. If ye abide in me and the word and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Let's first look at this first phrase. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. It gives us the provision, the spiritual provision of God for his people. And this is the most important provision that God has given us. This bread of life, this eternal food, eternal manna, this word of everlasting life that God has given us, the spiritual provision. And this is one thing that describes who a Christian is, who truly is the one who is abiding in Christ. Now, spiritually, we know that when we hear God's word, we know that we have this love, affection towards listening and hearing the word of God. It is interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ used the word here in verse 7, my words, not logos, but the words that he describes also as the word that is the preached word. The word that is preached, the word that is spoken, the word that is declared, the word that is pronounced, expounded. Of course, we know that what he has expounded, delivered, given to the apostles were the very words that are recorded, and those words from the apostles were expositions and given by the Spirit to be written as part of his word. But he specifically here mentions this preached word. The word that is preached. And I pray that we will not be people who are bored of hearing the preaching of God's word. Now I know there are really preachers whom we know we get bored when listening. During my homiletics, I was told by our lecturer, when I preach, it's better for you to record your voice in CD and sell it and have it for those, you know, those who cannot sleep, those who have insomnia, you know. I was so discouraged. And I notice also when we have our family Bible study every Wednesday, the moment I start saying, my children are here, but they almost at the same time, oh, as if telling me again. I'm not saying they are bored of the Word of God, probably they are bored of, again, of what I will tell them or I would be telling them. But he says here, the preached word. I thank God that our church camp is centered upon preaching. The very center of our Bible camp is this pulpit where the Word of God is preached. It is not the activities or whatever, fun and games, which most people or most churches are doing. We are spending more than 50% of our camp on the Word of God, on the preached Word of God. And this shows how our camp is abiding in the ways of Christ because it is abiding in His Word. And I pray this will continue. This will not be reduced. This will not be taken away in exchange of some other tours or visits or games or some important other things around to see. That every morning and evening of our church camp must be spent on the Word of God. For this is abiding in Christ. Whether we reduce our church camp up to Friday, it will still be 8 messages in the camp. Ye abide in me, my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, before proceeding to the physical provisions, I just like to mention these spiritual provisions that God has given us, this preached word, and of course, the written word. The written word is the word that we receive and embrace, and we know it is the word of God that inspired, He inspired and preserved. And this is the very word that we have to continue on as our light, as our lamp, as our constant guide, as our monitor, as our compass of life. Let it be the sole source of every decision making that we do. It's not that I decide to go in this way because I somehow dream like that, or somehow this brother tells me like that, or this circumstances shows me that this is the way. No, it is not your feeling. It's not something that you dreamed of. It's not something that is just a consequence that happens in your life. It must be based on God's word. And I believe, as what our brother Fu Chan mentioned this morning about some of those FEBC students who came and study God's word and think and first professed they are called, and then after that they went away and went into the secular world because they believe they are deluded, they are deceived by their own thoughts. I am called, and yet they are not, because there is no backing, there is no guidance from the Word of God. I thank the Lord that when I was called, He showed me the very word. It was me, shamefully, who does not want to listen to His word. But it must be in God's word. Because when you have that word with you as your sole guide and monitor and compass, you can return back to it, you can refer it to it, and then you are always strengthened by that word. That's a spiritual provision that God has given. As mother, as a father, as a student, when you are convicted by the word of God that this is your degree, this is your function, this is your role as mother, as parents, by God's word, you will do it because it is the word of God that tells me to do it. And I am enjoying this work because it is God who strengthened me. It is God who allowed me to do it. It is God who caused me to do these things. The Word of God, it is important. And the Word of God, I think that we have heard yesterday on the importance of how we should proclaim and defend the Word of God. Yesterday, for the missions report of how this many modern versions of today are trying to corrupt the Word of God. And for us who believes and know the truth, we must continue on to stand on this truth that we have this body of Scripture the very doctrine that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to know, and we must believe that indeed it is this preserved word that He has for us and use it. Because this is the problem of some of the so-called VPP circles today. There are some who are so proud and arrogant that they believe in the VPP, verbal plenary preservation of the scripture, but they never apply it in their lives. When the word of God says that His word abides in us, let it be that the very preserved word of God abides in our individual lives, in our family lives, and even in our church. That not only that God promises us of these spiritual provisions and He has given us, and we thank the Lord for we have this. He says also that ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Of course, it can also be a spiritual guidance, a spiritual leading of God unto us, but it has also the sense of physical provision with the knowledge that no more is the Lord Jesus Christ with them. In those times where the Lord Jesus Christ was with them, well, when they have no food, they will just tell the Lord Jesus Christ, we only have this, and the Lord will multiply. Fish, bread, and they have it. Now they don't have Jesus Christ with them. How? This promise that if you continue to abide in me and my words, take note, this is the condition. This is the state that you must be in. You are abiding in Christ and the Word of God abides in you. And then when you ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. Is it possible? Yes, because God declared it. But the thing is, we have to understand that when we have the words of God abiding in us as we abide in Christ, we know that our will, our desire, our aim, our objective in life is in perfect harmony with God's will. What we want is what God wants, because we are in His word. What we desire is what God desires. We look not for things that are apart from the word of God. We look not on things that God doesn't want us to have. We desire on things that God has in store for us, so that whenever we ask it, since this is His will, automatically, speedily, He will grant it. Now when we talk of speedily, it is not that right away God will give it to us. Speedily would be a description of a very timely provision. And this he describes in Luke chapter 18, in that parable that he described in how we must continue to pray and not to faint, persistently pray. In verse 7, Luke 18, verse 7, Jesus says, and shall not God avenge His own elect? Well, the idea of avenging here is to answer, because the idea of the parable was the widow was seeking for the judge, the unjust, unbelieving judge, to avenge for her. And Jesus, of course, in verse 7, describes this parable as avenging, but He was telling of them of His answer. And it was an answer to His own elect. And the idea of the elect are those people who are crying day and night. It was not a condition that if you are crying day and night, you are become an elect. But if you are an elect, you are truly chosen of God. You are in Christ. You are one who continues to depend on God. You cannot do anything without God. That's why you cry day and night unto Him. Lord, I cannot get what I want. I cannot go on one step without you. I cannot even plan things without you. And so I cry day and night before you. And though he bear long with them, and I tell you, sometimes he bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And the word speedily describes the idea of a very timely answer. It's not 1 second in advance, 1 second after. perfect as it is needed. And that is the assurance that God has given to His people. That is the assurance that God has given to them who abide in Him and His words abide in us. He will speedily, readily provide for them. That's why He questions them. Nevertheless, then when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? This body of doctrine, should this be the basis of your faith? Will this be in your hearts? When you pray, is it based on the faith? And this is a question. Like the words, is it abiding in you? Is it still in you? That's the significance of what the Lord Jesus Christ tells us here, or His disciples, that we must abide in Him. And anything that we will ask, it shall be done unto us. Why? Because what will we be asking is according to His will. What we will ask is according to what He is desiring for us. Now we have a verse also, or a few verses in 1 John and chapter 5. And verses 14 and 16. I start from verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. This refers to how we abide in Him. We have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you are not abiding in Him, you have no life. You cannot bear fruit. Not only that you cannot bear fruit, you don't have life. Life eternal. Your life is only up to this earth. Your life after will be a life of condemnation in hell. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. What a promise. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. He hears us according to His will. But take note, it is with the state in verse 12 that we have the Son and we have life because we are abiding in Him. And we believe on Him as it is written. The Word of God abides in us. And so we have this confidence that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God the Father, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. He will answer us. He will provide for us. That is why it's so sad to hear of some Christians who do other things apart from what God describes in His Word. Do business not according to God's word. And worse still, servants, so-called full-time workers of Christ who give themselves to labor for the Lord and yet later leave the ministry and do the secular work or mix their lives with the things of the world, as if Christ could not provide for them and could not answer what they need. It does not mean that we don't have to work and we don't have to labor for our provision. But it does mean that if we depend upon other things than what God has provided for us or is preparing to provide for us, then we are not truly abiding in Him. We are like branches who tries to seek for the juice and nutrients of other trees apart from this vine, as if this vine is not enough, as if this vine cannot provide what I need in order to bear fruit. We have to understand it is only and the Lord Jesus Christ alone can provide for these provisions that we need. And if we do have these provisions, we trust and we must always acknowledge Him as the giver of it. It is not by our own strength, it is not by our own labor, it is not by our own work that we earn this. It is by God's provision. Before, when we started our ministries in the Philippines, we were able to start it because of this unnamed brother or brethren who give us some kind of a big amount to us while we were in Pandan. And we were so scared why he gave us this kind of amount. Of course, for you, it's just a little amount. It's just $1,000. But it was given us a love gift. When we receive it, we're praying, Lord, what is this for? Are we going to go to Sentosa to enjoy ourselves, bring my children there? Anyway, I receive this love gift. It is for me. It's personally for me. It's my name there. So I can spend it for my own. They were scared. What is this for, Lord? And we prayed. And the next month, another additional amount. The more that we were scared, Lord, what is this? And thank God that He showed us in His Word that if this is His money, then this is for His people. And that's the start of how we began the Bible conference. And that year, we invited Dr. Koo to go to Philippines for that Bible conference. We thank the Lord. In those days where I was working, I was able to send two pastors to attend the conference. That time I have no work, I have no salary, yet God allowed us to start by His provision to begin a Bible conference that accommodated the first time. It was around 70 pastors. Because it is His provision, it will bear fruit, it will have many things, many fruits and bless many, but it also must be understood here as His provision and it is for His people. Now as we went on with the ministry, there were some rumors, questions, how were you able to gather this money for this ministry, for that ministry? Why did you not deposit it to the church? Why you give it not to the church? And it is so that it will be properly accounted. Of course, we know these are personal gifts and we gather it for these purposes. But to have a clean and a proper way, okay, the church said, okay, now we will support these ministries. And holy, the provision will be from the church. We thank the Lord that the church, True Life Bible Presbyterian Church, helped us with these ministries. But there was one problem that came out. Because there is ready provision, because the church is ready always to provide. In those times that we need funds and resources, we were so prayerful. Lord, 2 months before, this is still the amount, we need more. We pray hard, Lord, please provide. Now that there is this provision from the church, less prayer, less asking. Ye shall ask first what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Well, we think it has been done for us, we never ask, or may have asked just for the purpose of thanking Him that He provides for this. And truly, God gave us the lesson. Because this summer, we know that the church will provide. We know we have the amount. We are prayerful, but not that much as before. I don't know what happened also. It took long for the treasurer to issue that check. Until, I think, few days before they left for Philippines, the treasurer gave the check. And then when they issued the check, it was also a mistake. There was some problems. And so it has to be returned again and to be made. And the next day, it was May 1. And May 1 is holiday. There is, even if you put in the bank, it cannot be taken in by the bank because it's holiday and it must be the next day, and they will be leaving May 10 back to Philippines. And we were really a bit panicked how to do it, how to get all the materials. But God taught us the lesson. Ask. Ye shall ask. You think it is provided? You think it is there? You think it will come? Yes, it will come, but let us always ask, because by asking, we acknowledge that He is the source of all these things. We keep on communing with Him. We keep on remaining in Him. We keep on abiding in Him. Yes, the flow of that sap, that juice, comes always to the branch, but the branch must open itself to that provision. We as believers must continually pray. We will not be people who are complacent that, well, it is provided, it will come. We must continue to pray and acknowledge that He is the source of all things. Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. God is so good to provide these things for us, but we must acknowledge He is the source, He is the provider. Let us not look on the provision alone. Yes, it will come, and we forget the giver of it. That's what we can understand if we truly abides in Him. Now, one thing with this provision, it is not given to us in order for us to succeed with our ministry. It is not for us to just be able to do and finish what God has given us. But the idea here is in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. When you receive all these things, these blessings, provisions that you have from your prayer, from your asking, and God provides it for you, it should be for the glory of God. It should go back to the praise and honor of our God. Everything should bring back glory unto His name. Let it not that we forget and we rejoice. Oh, we have done it. We made it. Oh, we have so many children gathered. Oh, many young people came. Oh, the word was preached. But never that we bring back the glory unto the Lord. We thank God that He gave these things for us, but it should be for His praise and His honor. Everything, not a man's name, not an organization's name, not a church name, but in Christ alone. That's why He says, I am. I am. Not your church, not your denomination, not your ministry, not your name. I am. It is me. Herein is my Father glorified, because by abiding in me, the Father is glorified, given that honor and praise, exaltation that He deserves, because everything is for Him and Him alone. Even in our families, even in the success of our children, when they pass this exam, when they earn this degree, when they got these awards, when they land in this job, when they have this work, when they have this company, when they have this promotion, when we have all these things, do we glorify and honor God? Or are we proud of ourselves that I got it because I am an A student? Or I got it because I am well performing in my company? or I have this because I have done so much for these children, that's why they grew up well and they studied well and they earned these degrees. These are false vines, false trust in a confidence in man. Let us go back into glorifying Christ. There is one book that I came to read, and it's called A Christless Christianity. We are now in the age of a Christless Christianity. And it invades, especially in America today, where people think, well, I must listen to MacArthur, I must listen to Piper. And these people, as if they are the source of the teachings. They don't go to church anymore. We have also now the age of a churchless Christianity. They just go to McDonald's. They just go to this Starbucks. Bring their laptops. Plug their ears with a sermon of Piper. I must get Piper today. And when I have Piper, I am Piperized. I am energized. When I have MacArthur, oh, I am now encouraged. When I have all this, I have... Worse here, we have. When I got Joseph Prince, there is no Christ. Even in the evangelical and so-called fundamental circles, we are glorifying men. We are glorifying pastors. We are glorifying people. And even sadly, in the BP circle, people are following a preacher. I will go to the church because he will preach there. I will go to the church because he is there. Who is the preacher today? Is this pastor? So I will go there. Where is Christ? The words of Christ, not the word of this man. Yes, he is a very eloquent preacher. He is a very good preacher. But we are going into the church for Christ. I experienced it myself. Ladies' Fellowship of True Life is done in a monthly in our place. And he used to have Preacher Joshua as the preacher. And one day, he was probably out, maybe he has some conflict. As a good friend, he asked me to preach. And when my daughters realized that I'll be preaching, he said, uh-oh, the new many will be, what? I'm going to say, but some of them were, you're the preacher today. I did not expect. I'm not saying they are following Preacher Joshua, but there are people who are that so-called, looking on the personalities, looking on this person, on that preacher, on that reverend, on that man, rather than Christ. In America, that is so common, and I pray it will not invade even in our churches. When we know in our bulletin, next week, this preacher, I think I'm going to JB. I better eat laksa there. I'll be encouraged rather than listening to him. Next time, the preacher will bring laksa to the church. Come and eat here. Abide in me, my words abide in you, and the glory is to the Father, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall be my disciples. It is for the glory of God, it is for the identity of his disciples. If truly we are in Christ, his word abides in us, and we depend on Him, we trust in Him, we have full confidence in Him, we resource everything from Him, and when He provides it to us, we bring back the glory unto Him, and this fruit that we bear because of Him is for His glory alone. So shall ye be my disciples. So shall ye be my learners. So shall ye be my pupils. Learners, pupils, study the word. Learners, pupil, they study the teachings. And this shows that we have to go back again. The identity of a disciple is one whom the word of God abides in him. Let the word of God abide in us. Let the word of God be in us. Let the word of God be the source of everything in our lives. And as Spurgeon mentioned, we have this bibline, the Bible that flows into every aspect of our minds, our body, and our, it dictates every decision making, every desire that we have. And may the Lord help us to acknowledge the importance of the Word of God. We thank God that we have this perfect Bible that He preserved for us. We thank God that He enlightened us, giving us this illumination that indeed this is God's perfect Word for all of us. And we thank the Lord that He is opening this word for us that we may learn, and that we pray that as we learn from this word, we will apply this in our lives and put this word as our authority. Our authority. The world is not our authority. People is not our authority. This government is not our authority. The word of God is our authority. And this authority abides in us as we abide in Him. Are you truly a disciple of God? Are you truly a disciple of Christ? Are you truly in Christ or abiding in Christ? You are truly a disciple. You are truly abiding in Christ if the words of God abides in you. You are a learner. You are a pupil. And let it be that we desire these things for His glory and for His honor. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven,